Section 7 Other Laws. All right, let's dive into the details of Chapter 399 of the Florida Statutes, which covers the regulations surrounding elevators. This chapter lays out some essential requirements to ensure that elevators are operated safely and maintained properly. First and foremost, it's important to note that the responsibility for the safe operation and maintenance of an elevator falls squarely on the shoulders of the elevator owner. However, if the owner chooses to, they can delegate this responsibility through a lease agreement. Now, one of the key components of this statute is the requirement for a certificate of operation for all elevators. This certificate is not just a piece of paper. It must be displayed prominently on the elevator itself, protected by a transparent cover. The certificate is valid for a maximum of 2 years, but interestingly, the rules set by the Division of Hotels and Restaurants, which is part of the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, specify that the certificate is actually good for just 1 year. The licensing period runs from August 1st of 1 year to July 31st of the next. Speaking of the Division of Hotels and Restaurants, they also have the authority to establish fees for renewing this certificate of operation, so it's something to keep in mind for elevator owners. Another important regulation is that smoking is strictly prohibited on elevators. This is a safety measure that helps ensure a comfortable and hazard-free environment for everyone using the elevator. When it comes to inspections, Chapter 399 mandates that all elevators must be inspected every 6 months by a certified elevator inspector. Alternatively, municipalities or counties can conduct these inspections if they have a contract with the division. However, there's a bit of a caveat. If the elevator in question is not an escalator or a dumbwaiter and only serves two adjacent floors, it doesn't require an inspection as long as it's covered by a service contract. In such cases, the elevator owner must file a statement with the division to verify that the service contract is in place and being fulfilled. Accessibility is another crucial aspect of elevator regulations. Elevators must be designed to accommodate individuals with physical disabilities. This means that each elevator car must have handrails installed on at least one wall, and it's important that these handrails are designed without any sharp edges to prevent injuries. In the unfortunate event of an accident that results in bodily injury or even death, the law requires that this be reported to the division within 5 days of the incident. Failing to do so can lead to serious consequences, including a fine of up to $1,000. So, it's vital for elevator owners and operators to be aware of these regulations to ensure compliance and maintain safety for all. Let's dive into the regulations surrounding swimming pools in Florida, as outlined in Chapter 514 of the Florida Statutes and Chapter 64(e)-9 of the Florida Administrative Code. This legislation is designed to ensure that swimming pools are safe and well-maintained for everyone who uses them. The Florida Department of Health is tasked with overseeing these regulations, and they delegate the authority to local county health departments that have the qualified personnel to handle inspections and approve plans for pool construction. This means that if you're planning to build or operate a pool, you'll need to follow specific guidelines set forth by the Department of Health, which can be found in the aforementioned administrative code. Now, if you live in a condominium or cooperative with a swimming pool that serves no more than 32 units, there's a bit of good news for you. If your community's recorded documents prohibit rentals for less than 60 days, you may be eligible to apply for an exemption from certain regulations, although you'll still need to adhere to the water quality standards. To take advantage of this exemption, your association will need to file the appropriate paperwork with the Department of Health. It's important to note that all swimming pools that fall under these regulations must obtain a state operating permit from the Department of Health. These permits are valid for a maximum of 1 year, and it's crucial to renew them before July 1st each year. To ensure your permit remains valid, you'll need to pay the renewal fee by June 15th. When it comes to maintaining pool safety, there are specific rules regarding water quality. For instance, the pool water must have a pH level between 7.2 and 7.8, and the free active chlorine residual should be at least 1 part per million. Additionally, safety equipment is a must. Every affected pool needs to have a shepherd's hook that's at least 16 feet long and at least one life-saving ring with an 18-inch diameter, complete with enough rope to reach all areas of the pool from the deck. This safety gear should be mounted in a visible location, making it easy for anyone to access in case of an emergency. If your pool is longer than 50 feet, you'll need to have at least one of each safety item on both of the longer sides of the pool. To keep everyone informed, there are also requirements for signage. Each pool must display the rules and regulations as dictated by the local jurisdiction. And, let's not forget about health and safety. Domestic animals are not allowed in the pool area or within 50 feet of an unfenced pool, except for authorized service animals. Plus, food, beverages, and glass containers are strictly prohibited in the pool to prevent accidents and maintain cleanliness. Before taking a dip, it's essential to shower first, and the bathing load, which indicates how many people can safely use the pool at one time, must be clearly posted. Lastly, pool hours should also be displayed for everyone to see. And remember that pool covers can only be used when the pool is closed. By following these guidelines, we can all enjoy a safe and pleasant swimming experience. Let's talk about the requirements for security guards in Florida, as outlined in Chapter 493 of the Florida Statutes. First and foremost, it's important to know that both security guards and the companies that employ them must be licensed by the state of Florida. This regulation falls under the purview of the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, which oversees the security guard industry to ensure that everything runs smoothly and safely. Now, if you're part of a security company, it's essential to keep a copy of both the agency's license and each guard's individual license on file. This is not just a formality, it's a crucial part of maintaining compliance with state regulations. Speaking of licenses, security guards are classified as Class D licensees. This classification comes with specific requirements. For instance, when on duty, a Class D security guard must wear a uniform that features at least one visible patch or emblem that clearly identifies the agency they work for. This helps the public recognize them as security personnel. Additionally, while they're on the job, guards must carry an identification card with them at all times. It's also worth noting that these licenses don't last forever. They expire every 2 years and need to be renewed to ensure that guards remain compliant with state laws. Now, if a security guard wants to carry a firearm, they need to hold not just a Class D license, but also a Class G license. This dual licensing is crucial because it ensures that only those who have received the proper training and certification are allowed to bear arms while on duty. Lastly, it's important to clarify a common misconception. Security guards are not law enforcement officers. They do not possess police powers, which means they cannot make arrests or use force in the same way that police officers can. Their role is primarily to observe, report, and ensure the safety of the environments they are tasked with protecting. Understanding these distinctions is vital for both security professionals and the public they serve. Let's dive into the details of pest control regulations in Florida, shall we? First off, it's important to know that pest control practices are governed by specific laws outlined in Chapter 482 of the Florida Statutes. This means that there are clear guidelines and rules that need to be followed to ensure safety and effectiveness in pest management. The responsibility for overseeing these regulations falls to the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. They play a crucial role in making sure that pest control is conducted properly and safely across the state. Now, if you're thinking about tackling pest control in your home, there's something you should keep in mind. Only individuals who are certified by the Department of Agriculture can carry out pest control services in residential settings. This certification ensures that the person has the necessary training and knowledge to handle pest issues effectively. However, there's a little exception to this rule. If you own your unit, you're allowed to take matters into your own hands and perform pest control within your own space. But here's where it gets a bit tricky. If you work for an association, you're not permitted to conduct pest control in someone else's home or unit. So, while you can manage your own pest problems, you can't step into a neighbor's space to help out. Another important point to note is that fumigation, which is a more intensive pest control method, cannot be performed by just anyone. You must be licensed to carry out fumigation services. This licensing is in place to ensure that the process is handled safely and effectively, as it involves specific chemicals and techniques that require professional training. Lastly, let's talk about the common areas in an association. Employees of the association do have the authority to perform pest control in these shared spaces. This is essential for maintaining a pest-free environment for all residents, as common areas are often more susceptible to infestations due to the high traffic and shared nature of these spaces. So, whether you're a homeowner looking to manage pests in your unit or part of an association, understanding these regulations is key to ensuring that pest control is done safely and effectively. Let's dive into the details of towing vehicles parked on private property, as outlined in Chapter 715 of the Florida Statutes. This chapter specifically addresses the rights of property owners and lessees when it comes to unauthorized vehicles on their premises. Essentially, if you own or lease a piece of real estate, or if you're someone authorized by the owner, like a representative from a condominium association, you have the right to have any vehicle that's parked without your permission towed away. The best part? You won't be held liable for any costs associated with the towing, transportation, or storage of that vehicle, nor for any damages that might occur during the process. However, before any towing can take place, there are some important steps that need to be followed. First and foremost, a sign must be prominently displayed on the property. This sign should be placed at each driveway or curb cut that allows vehicles to access the property, and it needs to be within 5 feet of the public right-of-way line. If there aren't any curbs or barriers, then you'll need at least one sign for every 25 feet of your lot's frontage. Now, let's talk about what this sign should say. It must clearly communicate, using letters that are at least 2 inches high and light reflective on a contrasting background, that unauthorized vehicles will be towed at the owner's expense. Importantly, the phrase "tow-away zone" must be displayed in letters that are at least 4 inches high. Additionally, if there's a towing company involved, the sign should include the name and current phone number of that company, but only if there's a written contract in place with them. The sign itself needs to be permanently installed, with the words "tow-away zone" positioned between 3 and 6 feet above the ground. And here's a crucial point. This sign must be maintained for at least 24 hours before any vehicle can be towed. Now, if the registered owner of the vehicle or someone legally authorized to control it shows up before the towing process begins, they have the right to disconnect their vehicle from the towing apparatus. They can then remove their vehicle without any interference, but they will need to pay a reasonable service fee. This fee can exceed half of the posted towing rate, and a receipt must be provided. However, if that person refuses to remove the vehicle, which is parked unlawfully, then the towing process can continue. So, it's essential to be aware of these regulations to avoid any unnecessary hassles. Here are 10 multiple-choice questions based on the information in Section 7, Other Laws. 1. What is the maximum validity period for a certificate of operation for elevators according to Chapter 399? FS. A. 1 year. B. 2 years. C. 3 years. D. 5 years. The correct answer is A. The maximum validity period for a certificate of operation for elevators, according to Chapter 399, FS is 1 year. 2. Who is primarily responsible for the safe operation and maintenance of an elevator? A. The elevator inspector. B. The division of hotels and restaurants. C. The elevator owner. D. The local municipality. The correct answer is C. The elevator owner is primarily responsible for the safe operation and maintenance of an elevator. 3. How often must elevators be inspected according to Chapter 399? A. Annually. B. Every 6 months. C. Every 3 months. D. Monthly. The correct answer is B. According to Chapter 399, FS, elevators must be inspected every 6 months. 4. What is the minimum pH level required for swimming pool water? A. 6.5. B, 7.5. C, 8. D, 7.2. The correct answer is D. The minimum pH level required for swimming pool water is 7.2. 5. Which department oversees the regulations for swimming pools in Florida? A. Department of Business and Professional Regulation. B. Department of Health. C. Department of Agriculture. D. Department of Environmental Protection. The correct answer is B. The Department of Health oversees the regulations for swimming pools in Florida. 6. What must security guards carry while on duty? A. An identification card. B. A firearm. C. A first aid kit. D. A flashlight. The correct answer is A. While on duty, security guards must carry an identification card. 7. How long is a Class D security guard's license valid before it needs to be renewed? A. 2 years. B. 1 year. C. 3 years. D. 5 years. The correct answer is A. A Class D security guard's license is valid for 2 years before it needs to be renewed. 8. What is required to be displayed on a swimming pool sign according to the regulations? A. The pool's depth. B. The pool's construction date. C. Rules and regulations. D. The owner's name. The correct answer is C. Rules and regulations is required to be displayed on a swimming pool sign according to the state regulations. 9. What must be done before towing a vehicle from private property? A. Notify the police. B. Wait for 24 hours. C. Contact the vehicle owner. D. Display a sign indicating towing policies. The correct answer is D. Before towing a vehicle from private property, a sign indicating towing policies must be displayed. 10. What is the maximum fine for failing to report an accident involving an elevator within 5 days? A. $500. B. $1,000. C. $2,000. D. $5,000. The correct answer is B. The maximum fine for failing to report an accident involving an elevator within 5 days is $1,000. How do you feel about your performance on the Section 7 quiz, which focuses on other laws? If you're uncertain about your answers or want to improve your understanding, reviewing the material is a great idea. You can find the relevant content in your student manual on pages 197 to 202. If you have any questions or need clarification, please don't hesitate to contact Fred Gray at Gray Systems. We're here to help with any specific concepts or topics you may need assistance with. Thank you for using our services. Best regards, the Gray Systems team.